Praise and thanks be to the Lord. While singing, the thought came to me that all these things exist. This we know, and we believe it. The question is only whether we know how we can make use of it, how all this can have an effect in us, and how it must have an effect, that it must be manifested, that it has to become a reality. Redemption is here, but an experienced redemption is something different than just a redemption believed to be true. An experienced healing is something different than just to know to be healed. The difference between the divine knowing and the experience must be closer together. It doesn't need to be so big anymore. It must, like a toolmaker would say, it has to be a perfect fit. It must fit 100%. And to it, may God give us grace. Also, this afternoon, we welcome all of you very warmly. We wish all God's peace and God's blessing with all our hearts. This evening, this is now the question. We could show the film of Brother Branham. I would like to know whether such are amongst us who didn't see it yet. Do we have such in our midst who have not yet seen the film of Brother Branham? Oh yes, there are some. If one looks from the right to the left, between 15 and 20 people. I personally have seen the film approximately more than 70 times, because at that time I have taken it with me from city to city and from country to country. There was an epoch, and so I really have seen it more than enough. But I have to say, I always like to watch it again, because it reminds me to that what God has done. Of good things one can often partake, and also this applies here. If you don't mind, we would then tonight watch the film. This gives me an opportunity to relax a bit, but we have to slowly budget with the time, because it will soon be over. Soon it will be over. And then we have the 1st of January, 1988. This comes for sure. Oh, 87. Oh, I thought 88. You can assume that I said this on purpose. Thoughts are free if they are good. The thoughts of peace are free. But I have to admit to you openly that I, in my heart, the year 87, somehow I take it very easy, but that I then expect an intervention from God. How and when, this I don't know. But I don't want to explain more. We simply go with the Lord into the future. And then also the things to come will one day be present. For many things, what was future has become present through the fulfillment. And thus it will be also in the future. One day we will look back and will be able to say that what we were waiting for longingly has now been fulfilled. We will be able to say, today this scripture is being fulfilled before our eyes. We are convinced that God keeps His word and will do everything at the right time. So tonight we will have the film, and Tomorrow evening we have then water baptism and Lord's Supper. And on Wednesday we will then have the love feast in the evening. But on both days we will have in the morning and in the afternoon still hours here in the presence of God to deepen ourselves in the Holy Scriptures with the prayer to God that He confirms His Word on us, making it alive, letting us become a part of this Word, a part of His plan, a part of His kingdom, that we, in these days, become a part of the plan of salvation. And then coming to the prophetic part on which we are all waiting for. And these days shall contribute to give us a better understanding about the Holy Scripture. Let us once again pray and stand up for it. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank You for the privilege to live in this time, to see the diversity of Your Word, and to see Your plan with Your people. Dear Lord, we are gathered in Your presence to hear and see nobody else but You alone. Speak Thou with us. Make us still in Your presence. Take away every inner resistance. Take away all misunderstandings, all sadness. Take everything away what is in Your way. May all spirits depart, and may Your Spirit have the control and rule and reign in our midst. Bless with us all Your worshipping people. To You, the living God, we say thanks for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We made already comparisons of the Old and New Testament, and we will continue to do so. We know that God has given promises in His Word, which He then fulfills and confirms it to be true, and on this our faith is grounded. We can trust God and His Word fully. We may believe God. God is trustworthy. From His mouth, not one lie came forth. He keeps what He promises. He even let it be said, if we become unfaithful, yet He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Today, we want to make some comparisons in the Word of God. We begin with that we read the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts, chapter 16. It's the well-known story of the prison ward at Philippi. Here we read verse 31. Acts, chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Another translation says, and thou and thy house shall be saved. And there are people who experienced this and still experience it today, that they, as being said here, are saved with all their house. And for this, we are grateful to God with all our heart. But how shall we classify those with whom, at first, if we take the today's date, if it doesn't look like it yet. That somebody believes, but all his house does not believe. That somebody got saved, but all of his house was not saved. I mean now with today's date. How can we place this? Very quickly, it can happen that we are then hard on ourselves and that the devil then attacks us very strongly and tells us, you see, you don't believe properly. How is it with your conversion? And then the things are coming, one after the other. They come very strongly upon us. And at the end, we ask ourselves the question whether we really believed or if we just pretend to believe. But when we see from the Holy Scripture that also here, from house to house and from case to case, it can be totally different, then this shall not be now a painkiller, but it shall bring clarity so that we are not shipwrecked in our faith, but continue to hold on that the Lord stands to his word and that even today people can get saved with all their house. This we read here, and most certainly this is valid. Let us now read from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, here in verse 16 it is written, I will not read the previous verses, or maybe we should, so that you also see here how close the things are together. Let me read from verse 14. 1 Corinthians 7 from verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Let us stop here for a moment. Before that, it is being said very clearly, the unbelieving partner is sanctified by the believer. Right afterwards, of this unbelieving partner, in this case, who was holy and sanctified, according to verse 14, it is being said, if the unbelieving wants to separate, let him depart. In this case, the brother or the sister is not bound to the marriage. What do we see here? In one case, it applies. In the other, it does not apply. The one case is in this way, and the other case is different. And both cases are written so close to each other in the Holy Scripture, so that we know our way around and not always think as if the same would apply everywhere. Here applies this, and here applies that. God has different ways with each one. I read on, namely, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? We have read in Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved. Full stop. Finished. And here, what do we read here? What knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? I thought they are all saved already. According to Acts 16, 31. You see, that in every case, one has to read the Bible completely, not just emphasizing one scripture and run away with it, but really reading the Word of God in a balanced way and preach it so that no one is put to shame. Nobody needs to be put to shame who puts his trust in the Lord. It just needs that we all let ourselves be placed biblically and that what is happening with us, and then we come to a rest in God. You understand this? In the moment where this does not happen, we are in an unrest, and with this we would have no peace. But we have peace with God, and we know that He walks a special way with each one. We read on. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I would like to give you on purpose some strong medicine so that we get well. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here it is written in verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, we pray in the Lord's Prayer. That's how we were commanded. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the will of God, that's how we read it here, that all men are helped, that all men are saved, and that all come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the explicit will of God. But not all can be saved. Not all can be helped. Not all accept the truth. It is the will of God. But God cannot force His will to anyone. God can show us His will. And then He waits for that we cooperate, that we lay ourselves into His will, and that we can say with all our heart, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, here we read that it is the will of God that all men are saved and that all come to the knowledge of the truth. To it, we read from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 64 and 65. Gospel of John, chapter 6, 64 and 65. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray Him. And now it comes. And He said, Therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto Me, except it were given unto him of My Father. The other translation says, No one can come unto Me, except the Father draws him first. One has to be drawn to be able to come. It is the will of God that all are saved, but it still depends on the drawing that God lays the inner draw into the heart of a person. And then it could happen again that somebody excuses himself and says, "All right, until now God didn't draw me, and thus he doesn't want me." No, this is false. We must recognize that under the proclamation of the word, this divine draw starts. Already the coming to hear God's word means that you got involved with God. I would like to advise all the people to come not in any meeting where the word is preached if they don't want to walk with God. Because it is dangerous to come into a meeting where God's word is preached, because there God starts to work. There the draw in the heart starts. Whoever doesn't want to get saved, he may not come into any meeting. But he who wants to get saved, he shall come. He shall then be drawn by God under the sound of the word. And then comes the fulfillment. All whom the Father draws, they come to me. And everybody who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So, the offer of God's grace for all, not all accepted. Those who accept it, that's how it is written in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. To them God gave power that they can become children of God, namely because they believe on his name. That's how the draw of God starts, in the heart of a man. And then we recognize that we are ordained to get saved. We read another word from the Gospel of Mark, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Mark, chapter 12, namely verse 29 to 31. Mark 12, 29 to 31. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." You probably don't know yet why I have read this word, but we go already into another territory. Here we are told that we shall love God with all our heart and with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all that is within us. And our neighbor as ourselves. To this I would like to read now the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Luke. And please hold fast your seats. Hold fast your seats. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Here we read from verse 25. Keep in mind the word from Mark. Luke 14 from verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What is this now? Just now we read of the love. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as thyself. One could still read other words. The first commandment with promise is, honor thy father and thy mother, so that it is well with thee, and that you live long on earth. And now the Lord seems to put everything upside down and speaks of hatred. This doesn't suit me at all. I want to love. For this reason I'm here. And now the Lord requires me and says to me, maybe also to you, maybe to all of us. I don't know how many let themselves be addressed or to how many it applies. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, hating his own life, then he cannot be my disciple. But we all want to be disciples of Jesus, right? How shall we put this together now? What shall we do with it? Look, this morning we spoke about it already. The Lord said, I came for a division into this world, so that the seeing get blind, and the blind get seeing. And then the scribes asked, does he mean us? And then the Lord says, if you would be blind, then you would have no sin. But because you think that you see, therefore your sin remains. From the letter, they knew the word, but they were not ready to follow the Lord. What happens now with you and with me, with all of us, when God's calling and God's election and God's gracious visitation comes into our life, the same as then with Abraham, who lived in Ur in Chaldea, on the other side of the river Euphrates, and who served other gods. Arise, leave everything, and go on your way to the country which I will show you. Do we see that following Jesus cannot include any compromises? If we are for the Lord, then we necessarily have to tear ourselves away from everyone who don't want to follow the Lord with us and walk on the same way. Only in this way we have the possibility. You all know the word hating. It reminds me on the word in the Old Testament where God says, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. This word means simply the one is received, the other not. But here we see that the following of Jesus does not permit any compromises. If God has called you, if God has pardoned you, and all of your people don't want to walk with you, will you then also remain sitting to perish with them and to get lost? Or will you understand that a divine decision has come into your life, and that the Lord has to be at the first place, and even it costs everything, but the most precious remains with you, namely the Lord. And if you have the courage, even if you would have to remain alone to make the beginning with God, then you give to others who remain behind at least a chance to come also along and to follow the Lord. But if you remain sitting alone with a knowledge in your heart, then you become guilty because the others then don't get the possibility to make up their mind whether they also should not follow the Lord. You know, sometimes there's a bit of diplomacy, a bit empathy, a bit regard. These are all nice words, and they most certainly have their justification and their place. But if it is about the divine, about the eternal, then I ask you, if you want to have an experience with God, don't make any compromises, but let your decision be God's decision. And the Lord will then all who one day will respect this decision, He will also draw them. And suddenly, that what was manifested at the moment as a separation will then be again a unification in Christ. But it's just necessary in the moment to make the decision. It goes on. In verse 27 it says in Luke 14, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." What do you think, what kind of cross this is? One of the most heavy crosses is therein when somebody has to follow the Lord alone and all the others are left behind. Many things one can endure in life, some things better, the other not so good. But to leave his own behind, to lose his own, this is a heavy cross, a cross that weighs a lot, which hurts. But here the Lord requires, whosoever does not bear his cross. And all this are burdens which have to be carried, and follows me, he cannot be my disciple. So we see how different the situations can be. And I'm so grateful to God that He didn't leave out any situations, that He thought on everything, whatever could be with our faith, be it in the family, whatever. He thought on it. Why? To comfort us and to strengthen us in the faith. Let us read on. In Luke we have read, then Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, also here a word is written which could have been linked directly to that what we read from 1 Corinthians 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Please remember Luke 14, 25. Whoever does not hate father, mother, child, and so forth. And here we are told, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What shall I do now? Which task is given to me? You see, on what God's word aims. Both is true. Both has its place. And if God gives grace, then one can be replaced by the other. And then there is peace and joy in the Lord. Then there is peace and joy in all of the house. Then comes to fulfillment, today salvation is come to this house. The salvation can only bring He who brought it to us. And this is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't know how it is with you. I can only speak of myself. I had to find out that words in certain situations do not suffice. There only God can intervene, and this one then has to leave up to Him how and when He will do it. We know that His will be done in all things. We have read the word from 1 Corinthians 7:15. What do you know, brother, or you sister, whether you will save the other? The answer is very simple. If both are drawn by God and are pardoned by God and follow the Lord, then there's no hardship anymore. Then there's forgiveness. Then there's grace. Then there's salvation. Then there's thoughtfulness. There's understanding. Everything is there. But if it's not like this, then we have to leave it until God brings the turnaround. In Ephesians, in chapter 6, it is written, Ephesians chapter 6, I anticipated here already a bit. Here it is written, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Nice formulation. Such an order we wish for all of us. Also that this word might be fulfilled. Ye children, obey your parents in the Lord. So believing children must also have the fear of God to be able to be obedient. Otherwise it doesn't work. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Yes, this I also would say. This is perfectly all right if this is fulfilled like this. And most of us have most certainly experienced such years. And on these times, we all like to look back. And here I think on a young brother at that time, when the question came up, who can be an elder of a church? Then somebody came, very, very excited, and said, yes, but it is not true. It is written, the children of an elder must. Yes, I said, that's how it is written, and that's how it remains written. Then I said to this young brother, just wait until your children grow and become adults, as the children of the brothers who are set by God as elders. And then he said, I remain standing on that word. Yes. And when the time took its course, it's many years ago, also this came to pass. What came to pass at that time with Samuel? And Samuel was a mighty prophet. The first task which the Lord gave to Samuel was, go to Eli and tell him he shall put his house in order, for his sons do not walk in the ways of God. It was a difficult task. And when this dear Samuel, who was very young at that time, and heard the voice of the Lord and carried out his commission, when this dear Samuel had also grown up sons and he himself became old, then the elders of Israel came to him and said, Samuel, your sons do not walk in thy ways. Appoint unto us a king. What a pain this may have caused in his heart. When everything was young and nice, everything obedient, and not even married, knowing nothing of the sorrows and troubles of life, oh, then one can say many things. But if it now later on, by the course of time, it becomes a bit different, also then we have to cope with it and God gives us the strength to it, that we can cope with it. And I tell you, from where I draw my strength, from the Word of God, that strengthens me in my situation and strengthens you in your situation. If somebody comes to you and even strikes you down in the misery in which you are in already, to such a person you can quickly show him the door, for he is not sent from the Lord. He who is sent from God, do you know what he does first? Before he steps over the threshold, then he says, "Peace be with this house." And I want to count how many times I brought this statement over my lips. When I come into a house, "Peace be unto this house." And if there are children of peace there, then the peace of God remains with them. But if somebody comes, who himself is driven by unrest, what shall happen there? Mischief. And this we don't need. True children of God are peacemakers. They are people whom God can bless and use. But let us come now to another scripture, and this we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, here something is said to us of the end time in which we live. Here in Ephesians 6, the children should love their parents and be obedient in the Lord. Now listen what is written here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and so forth. Whoever does not read the first verse now, he didn't come to know that this statement refers to the last days. In verse 1 it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." But we live in the last days, and the days which we don't like have come upon us. But it's the last days, and in these last days, not only the divine order is at risk, but also the human order has been put upside down. And Solomon said already then, "Don't ask why the former times were better, for it is not wisdom which gives you this question." I've said it here already publicly, and I'm not ashamed of it. I have washed my father's feet. He worked hard on the farm. When he came home tired and drawn, then I had there a nice basin, and I washed his feet when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. It didn't bother me at all. I loved my father dearly, and this just belonged to it. Yes, when I now think on today's time, then I would have to say, my goodness, you also don't ask why the other times were better. And if I go one step further, I had the privilege to baptize my father and my mother biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It were years on which I can look back where I felt like a Job. The Lord made a fence around everything, and many probably even envied me. If now come days and times where it is different, then don't feel sorry for me. Just pray for me and say, the Lord will know what He does, and the end will be glorious, and together we will bless and praise the Lord. Shall we waste time on things which are temporal? We hold fast to that what is eternal, and there we have to make our decision. Temporal things stops us. Eternal things holds us tight and leads us into eternity. So, the decision is made already. We have been apprehended by Christ. We cannot do otherwise. We hurry after Him. We follow Him. And I believe, if God has given us people who are nigh to us, who are our own flesh and blood, and are ordained to have part in the rapture, then comes the turnaround, as it has come with Job. And suddenly, there is again joy and peace in the house. But in the meantime, I cannot turn my back to the Lord. This was the story with Job. The devil said to the Lord, if you, right, then he will no longer serve you. And this the Lord took seriously. He said, all right, Satan, if you think that he then no longer serves me, then here you have him. But his soul you may not touch. He truly touched everything, from head to toe, house and farm, everything he touched, even riding on the wife, curse God and die. And what happened with Job? He sat on an ash heap, outwardly full of agony, boils all over. And then even the teasings by his friends. There are various kinds of friends. Some have a very special talent. They have the left arm and hand free to hug you, and the right hand with a knife. It's a bit hidden. And then when they hugged you with the left arm, then the right arm comes slowly forward, and then they squeeze you. No, this we don't need. We need people. And this I want to say clearly, no matter in which condition, in which situation you are in, precious brother and sister, if we are children of God, then we feel with you and we go your way with you and with God. We don't correct one another. We don't go into the houses and distribute recipes and say, listen, this and that you must do this way and that way. We need a recipe ourselves, and if we would have it, then we would be helped. But then we have to promise, there is still balm in Gilead. The great physician is still here. He can heal the hearts. He can heal the wounds. He can make everything well. Why do we read these various scriptures? To show us that we can be in totally different situations and conditions, and no one needs to give up hope in his situation. Believe me today, no one needs to become desperate. You of course feel in your heart that God called you out. You of course didn't come by yourself. You have been drawn, and now you are here, and have put the Lord at the first place. You have put the word of truth upon the lampstand. You took much upon yourself. Should the Lord leave this unrewarded? He has seen everything. He has heard everything. And he watches over us and over his word. to at the right time do the right thing. Not you and not I will bring about a turnaround, but the Almighty God, to whom is really given all power in heaven and on earth. He prepared the way already. He has already paved the way. We just need to wait until we can walk on it. In the meantime, we want to trust the Lord fully. As people, we would quickly quarrel with us, with others, and finally also quarrel with God and say, Lord, why did that have to be? Why? Some will get his answer only on the other side. Let us, whether we have the answer or not, let us serve the Lord, believe him and trust him, following him, and everything else, if need be, leaving it behind us, even if it hurts. Either we let ourselves be stopped, or we walk on and have then the possibility that others are also drawn. Then I think the first solution is the better one, that we, because God has drawn and called us, that we walk our way following Jesus Christ. Everything else we leave up to him. He can give the strong as a prey, and he can make the great small. He can exalt, he can humiliate. Important is that we have taken our attitude towards God with all our hearts and leaving everything else up to him. Do you know that we have to be much more tactful when dealing with each other? Sadly, it is so that believers can be the quickest to get unreasonable. Unbelievers, they know how to behave, whether they have read Knigge or not, but they know precisely how one has to behave. You know what I mean. With believers, this is mostly not the case. And here we must be careful to recognize whether we are not motivated by some kind of other power which lets us become everything else but not a blessing for others. But here I want to show you another strong contrast. It will give you a hard time. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, there our Lord told us a very serious admonition. And he says here the following. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Very serious words. How quickly one believer says to the other, really, something, words which should not be found in our mouths. Because thus it is written in Ephesians 4, from verse 30, that no foul language and so forth shall come from our mouths. You know the place. I don't need to read it, but I want to make a comparison here. And you know it very well in your heart. I'm not standing here as a judge. The word that I read, this touches my heart just like all of us. And the word applies to me like all the others. And we all have to examine ourselves in the presence of God. But here, it is really written, whoever says to his brother, thou fool, he shall be in danger of hellfire, a terrible punishment. And do you know what the same Lord dared to say? He brought the same word over his lips. We read to it, Luke chapter 12. After all, today we speak about the so-called contradictions in the Holy Scripture. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. You can all read it, depending on the translation. We are told here what it is about. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The Lord gives us the instruction to never call a brother idiot, to never say you fool to a brother, because this is followed by a punishment, and he takes himself the right and says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What is the difference? Do you get it, what's all about? The one is a brother in Christ, a person pardoned by God, a man to whom everything was forgiven and to whom nobody can impute something. And if then somebody comes and says to a brother in Christ such a word, using it in reference to him, he eradicates what happened on the cross of Calvary, and he doesn't see him anymore in Christ as God sees us, namely through Calvary, as people fully redeemed and fully pardoned. Here is an unbelieving person who can be nothing else but that what he is, and who lets the offer of grace pass by him, and who doesn't receive it at all. Not the brother is a fool. He can't be a fool. He is a clever person because he accepted the grace of God. The unbeliever is the fool who did not accept the grace. Do you see the difference? God can take himself the right. An unbeliever may of course read again and shake his head and say, huh, how is this possible? Here is written this and here is written that. Everything has its context, its place, and its correctness. To us as believers, especially for the end time, in the epistle of James, in chapter 5, in verse 6, a special admonition is given along our way, which we have to take to heart. James, chapter 5, from verse 7 it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren. I could stop here and open up Romans 8, where Paul writes, the whole creation groans, and also we, who we have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves and wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. But here are two totally different groanings which are ascending to heaven. The one sigh connected with the expectation of the return of Jesus Christ, that finally the whole creation is delivered from the bondage of corruption and the children of God are glorified and meet the Lord. The other sighing is written in that connection as written, grudge not one against the other, dear brothers. This is a vast difference, whether we grudge because we have something against the brother and can't cope with it, or whether we groan and are longing for that finally the redemption of our body takes place and that the whole creation can participate in it. What kind of sighing is in you and in me? I would say the sighing according to Romans 8. Amen? This was not loud. Or according to James 5. What kind of sighing is in us? Pay attention to it, that it is not the grudging as written here in James 5. Grudge not one against another, dear brethren, but the groaning that the Spirit has laid into us, by which the longing is expressed, Lord, when is it so far? Lord, when will you return to make finally an end to everything? Not Lord, when do you settle the account with that brother? Lord, when do you grab him? And when do you sort him out? And when will you bring things in order with him? Forget this. Let things get in order with us and with God. And then the world is with us and with God in order. If each individual is in order with God, then I have great faith that we also come in order with one another. Hallelujah. It starts with that the individual has come in order with God. I tell you, if you and I, if we all who we are here today, and all who call upon the name of the Lord, and who believe his revealed word, if they let themselves be brought into order with God, then the divine order is again established in the overall church. We said already earlier that not only the divine, but also the human order has come out of order in this time. But there is a church that is called out, and this church will again be restored into its original condition before God. And to them I want to belong, no matter what it costs. The end time message was brought to establish order, divine order, in the house of God. And in Hebrews it is written, We are the house of God. And thus, divine order must be established in us, in you and in me. And then the world is in order for you. Politics, everything is in order. If you are in order with God, then it's only about one thing, to have the connection to God, to live for Him, and to be here, to be blessed by Him, and to be a blessing. How many can say in their heart, yes, to this word of God, which we looked at? Amen. Amen. We believe it. We have heard it. We received it. To us, it will be done as God said it. We will experience what He promised to us. There is no contradiction. Everything is in order for them who are in order with God. May He give it to me, may He give it to you. May He grant us all His peace. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, no one of us feels to sing or to jubilate. We all examine ourselves in your holy presence to know how it is with us. We thank you together for the comparisons in the Holy Scripture, which may seem to the unbeliever as a contradiction, but to them who have found grace in your sight, it's a full picture in harmony. In each case, in a certain context, it is illuminated. Dear Lord, how can we thank you? How can we express it that you pardoned us in such a way? Who are we that you speak to us like a friend speaks to his friend? Who are we that your Spirit makes your word alive to us? And right now, in these moments, working deep in our soul, we feel that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierced and divided asunder spirit and soul, mark and marrow, and brought a divine decision into our lives. Here we are, Almighty God, gathered in your presence as we are. No one can make himself taller. No one is able to change something in his life. We depend on you. We are cast on you from our birth. Until this very day, you carried us with patience. And yet we feel that after all the teaching, very little divine life has been manifested. Lord, we have the common request that the word that was sown through all the sermons, that it is fertilized through your Spirit, that it springs up in us. Lord, the same corn of wheat that was laid into the ground came forth in a multiplicity. faithful Lord, we have been born again of you after the Spirit and have become sons and daughters of God. We are still in this body of flesh and have some kind of trouble. But we ask you, may the Spirit get the predominance, that the flesh becomes subject, and that your Spirit could anoint us and use us mightily, equipping us with power for the manifold tasks. Dear Lord, may the heard word not return void, but may it accomplish for what you have sent it for. We believe you and we trust you. You have drawn us. You spoke to us. We have understood your speaking. Our hearts still burn because you have spoken with us. Faithful Lord, lift now thy countenance over us and give us your peace. And may your grace and your blessing be with all of us. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God.